Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Anna Faris, and I have this podcast fittingly titled Anna Faris is Unqualified, where each week a different celebrity and I attempt to give relationship and dating advice. Recent co-hosts have included Matthew McConaughey.
You got somebody you care about. You lost track of them. Go find out.
Margaret Cho.
Vacation sex is always irresistible.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
I could make it all about them and not have to focus on my own problems.
And Seth Rogen. So if you're wondering what your favorite celebrity or I would do in your situation, just listen and subscribe to Anna Faris is Unqualified. Free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Rusty Quill presents Chapter and Multiverse.
Lovely to see you again, my dear. Your usual seat is ready and waiting, and I'll have a cocktail ready for you in just a moment. But first, I have to ask, would you be interested in hearing about my little working holiday to a rather academic version of Chapter City? I was asked to keep an eye on four candidates for the Wizard Practical Certification exam. A very important qualification, I might add. But they seemed somewhat ill-prepared for the bizarre tests they had in store.
Hello and welcome to Chapter and Multiverse, the actual play podcast where we explore the same city across multiple parallel universes. I am your game master, Maddie Searle. My pronouns are she, her, and today we will be playing Definitely Wizards by Elliot HT, in which a bunch of non-wizards have to try and pass a wizard exam. But before we go any further, I must introduce our wonderful and talented players. Could you please let me know your name and your pronouns, starting with Shamini?
Hi, yeah, hi there. I'm Shamini. I use she, her pronouns.
Fabulous. And Lowry?
Hello, I am Lowry, and I also use she, her pronouns.
Grand. And Connie?
Hey, everyone, I'm Connie. My pronouns are they, he, and she.
Wonderful. And Pip?
Hello, I'm Pip Gladwin. Oh, no, no one else gave their surname. Oh, too much information.
Oh, no.
I use he, him pronouns.
Wonderful. And so I'm just going to read you a little bit from the introduction of the game so you can get an idea of what this is all about. So it says, everyone knows the proper way to gain arcane abilities is through discipline and years of study. Magic is temperamental and it's too dangerous to let anybody who just happens to have inner power cast spells. Wizards who have worked studiously and been tested on their capabilities are the only ones we can trust with that power. Unfortunately for you, this means all other sources of magic have been declared illegal. If you want to take jobs where spellcasting is a requirement, you must be a licensed wizard. Your party has completed the paperwork and written test and now face the final challenge, completing the Wizard Certification Practical Exam. The exam is a series of trials designed to test your magical competence, skill, and control. Your party must complete these challenges while keeping up the illusion that you are wise and dignified wizards, not a ragtag bunch whose magic is from anything but book learning. So, to start off this episode, we will be finding out what characters everyone is playing. Lowry, I believe that you have an idea of who you want to play.
So, yes, I have lofty ideas of being a bard, which I regret even before confirming that that is what I want to do. But here we are. There are going to be terrible rhymes, wonderful singing, I'm sure, and maybe musical puns, but I'm not very good at puns. So let's see how they go.
Excellent. I'm very pleased to hear that. You get to have two props to help you in being a wizard.
Yes.
What are those two?
As a bard, I think it's very, very important that I have a pocket full of glitter at all times.
Excellent.
For showy showmanship. And I was late to this recording because I was hunting out my wizard's cape that has a hood and I am wearing it now. So my other item is going to be a mysterious wizard's, definitely wizard's cape with hood.
Brilliant. That's perfect. Absolutely. And what is the name of your character?
I've thought long and hard about this, and I have landed on Falsetto Dalala.
Incredible.
That's their stage name.
That's very good.
Who knows if we'll ever find out their real name? Probably not.
What are Falsetto's pronouns?
He, him.
Excellent. Amazing. And so, Pip, what class do you want your character to be?
Yes, I have gone with muscle magic, which is basically just like, from the description, you're so jacked, it appears you are magical in some way. So yeah, I've gone with that. It's basically just, yeah, it's all strength based, more or less. And, you know, Hulk style, getting angry and getting stronger.
Wonderful. And what props do you want your muscle magic man to have?
Well, I also was going to have a pocket full of glitter because I really wanted a pocket full of glitter. But
look, I'm open to negotiation.
I'm just going to change it. I've gone with, well, one that I rolled, which is a massive tome, which this tome is massive to the point of I'm pretty sure I'm the only person who can lift it.
Perfect.
And I will be curling it constantly.
Perfect.
And yes. I will also take a belt with lots of pouches for my spell components, or just a lot of protein. Just got to keep up that protein. Lots of protein bars, nuts, that kind of thing. Just, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
So instead of a pocket full of glitter, you have a pocket full of nuts.
A pocket full of nuts. Exactly.
Grand. And what is the name of your character?
The name of my character is Jackson Gaines.
Perfect.
Yes. And what is Jackson's pronouns?
Jackson's pronouns are he, him.
Great. Okay. And Connie, what class do you fancy playing?
Yeah, I'm really drawn to the collector. I'm thinking my characters, Spoon, he, they, they're a teenager, but the collector as a class just doesn't have any innate power or spells or magic at all. They just go through a bunch of like random items that they've either gotten through like on sale, like flash sale, black market magic items, or like thieving it, or like they've got deep pockets, or maybe they like accidentally knocked someone out and took their stuff, right? Who knows? Spoon has an assemblage of various terrific and horrible items. In terms of the two special props they have, I'm going to go with a pointy hat and robes, I think, to cover up the cursed hat that's actually on their head, that's like that won't come off, so they've got a pointy wizard hat over it. And the robes, I think, are just stitched with a constellation of pockets all over the fabric that they'll just reach in to like pull out like a random item to help them in whatever situation has been happening. I think the only reason they've gotten through the exam is because they had like a pencil that will write in all the right answers and they don't actually know what the right answers were.
That's so good.
The other prop is a long fake beard because they want to look older, but they're actually in fact 17 years old.
That's so cute.
Brilliant. And Shamini, what class do you want your character to be?
So I'm thinking druid. I want to embrace my inner hippie nature loving type. I have named my druid Estelia, she, her pronouns. And for the props, I'm going to go for a quill and parchment, because I feel like she could have just borrowed the like quill feather off one of her birdie friends. And then she just sort of like just carries this completely empty book around, but that will really look like she's been studying really hard. And I'd also, I'd love to have a familiar. Could I have, GM, a caterpillar called Edward, please?
Oh my goodness, yes.
I think maybe he like lives in my hair somewhere.
Yeah,
I think she looks very like forest child, hippie, like long hair and flowers and leaves.
Can I ask, do you maybe keep your quill in your hair, and sometimes Edward can kind of like, if they want a good view, can I crawl to the top of the quill that's in your hair to look out?
Yeah, perfect. Love it.
Amazing. And how do you spell Estelia?
Well, however you would like to. Okay, I have spelled Estelia, Estelia. I just came up with this on the spot. There's nothing clever about my name. I've not done my research.
That's what I had as well. Great minds think alike. Amazing. And so now that we know who each of your characters are, what is your party's backstory? How did you all get together? And do you each know that the other is, do you know that everyone is not actually a wizard? Ooh. Is this a coordinated effort, or did you just all happen to be put together?
Hmm.
What do we think?
Interesting.
I do quite like the idea that we're fooling each other as well. But would that sort of like limit the group bonding a little bit? We have to like figure it out pretty soon.
I feel like trying to keep up the pretense of not being wizards to each other and everyone else.
Yeah,
it's going to be real complicated. It's going to make it hard for us to help each other if we do it that way. But that doesn't mean we can't like find out early. You know, if that makes sense. I'm sure Maddie can shoehorn that in.
Maybe that's why we band together. We all get like revealed to each other.
But nice, we could also just already know and have been like, right, you know. Yeah, we could have all just banded together because, you know, we know none of us are actually wizards and, you know, we're kind of screwed if we don't cooperate.
We could have applied to wizard school together. And I presume we're in a wizard school because we're taking the wizard exams, right? Is this right?
Yeah. What's our backstory?
is there a university? Or do we just have to do the exam? Like, is it just like a driving license? Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like a driving test where you can it's your responsibility to do your education. Then you turn up to you book a day at the testing center and turn up. So you don't necessarily have to have had any wizard education at all.
Just trying to get certified.
Yeah.
Did we all go to the same night school to prep for the exam where it came out that we all don't know what the heck we're talking about?
Ooh.
And maybe we're a study group and we found out that we aren't wizards through the study group.
Yeah.
No one else wanted to work with us.
No one else because we were like bottom of the class, like bottom of the barrel.
Well, presumably you were top of the class because of your pencil.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, but whenever I open my mouth, people are like, this person has no idea what they're talking about. This person, that's just a kid in a fake beard. What?
Incredible. I do feel free to not use the suggestion, but I like the idea. It was like a really dodgy night school, like completely fake diplomas up on the wall type situation.
Run by a lizard. Lizard the wizard or something. Like super, super dodgy.
I like that. And I guess we're all invested and now, why do we want to be wizards? Just because it's cool?
No, you have to be a wizard.
Because we're magic. We are technically magic, or at least using magic in
any
in
other
Spoon's
magic
case.
Use is illegal. So it's either it's either get the certificate or hide it forever.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, these are high stakes.
Just go get like a normal person job, a non-magical job. I don't want to do that.
No. Gross.
Okay, and so just to quickly go through the basic rules of the system, you have two stats, wizard and wild, and each of those start at 3. If your wizard stat reaches 6, your pent-up wild magic threatens to explode. You can't do any wizard spells until you've succeeded on a wild roll, at which point your wizard stat resets to 2. If your wild stat reaches 6, you've drawn suspicion and you can't cast any wild spells until you've succeeded on a wizard roll, and then your wild stat resets to 2. If any player's wild stat goes higher than 6, or your entire party's wild stat reaches 6 simultaneously, then you're caught and you not only fail the test, but you're also arrested for wild magic crimes. That's in the book. And in terms of wizard spells, you have a list of spells that you can cast. These are basically toned down versions of classic D&D spells. So Hunch, Frost Nip, Singe, Harm, Transmogrify, Shield, Slowish Fall, Slime, Simple Illusioned, and Acid.
Yep.
And there are little descriptions of each of those in the book as well. And for wild spells, basically any significant use of power that relates to your class, you can say as a wild roll.
Right.
So to cast wizard spells, you have to roll at or below your wizard stat on a 1d6. And if you succeed, you add 1 to your wizard roll. If you roll above your wizard stat, then you have to roll again for the consequences, and we can get into that as we continue. I'll just say now. If you roll above your wizard stat, you roll again for the consequences. On a 1-2, nothing happens. On a 3-4, unintentional wild magic happens, and you add 1 to your wild stat. And on a 5-6, the spell fails dramatically, and you add 1 to your wild stat. So yeah, basically nothing or wildness happens. And to cast wild spells, you roll at or below your wild stat. If you have a success, you describe how you hide or disguise your spell, or you can add 1 to wild just to do it openly. If you roll above your wild stats, You have to roll again for the consequences. On a 1 to 2, nothing happens. On a 3 to 4, the spell works, but with a negative side effect, and you add 1 to wild. On a 5 to 6, the spell fails dramatically, and you add 1 to wild. So basically, there's a lot of chance that things are going to get wild. And also, if you use your wizard prop, you can add 1 point to wizard or remove 1 from wild. So that's a nice little thing that you can use to kind of try and balance things out.
Right.
And if you're doing something especially clever, and I like what you're doing, I may give you a wit bonus, which is basically rolling with advantage. You can roll 2 dice and choose the better result. And also, there's a mechanic called cover, where a party member fails a spell. Instead of facing consequences, you can cause a distraction instead. They don't face any consequences and you add 1 to your wild stat. So if you've got a lower wild stat than them, you can take the fall.
Nice.
And the game ends with passing the test or being caught as wild magic users.
Dun, dun.
Okay, so without further ado, let's jump right in. Our story takes place in the distinguished academic town of Chapter, where the most promising young wizards undertake their education and where the Wizard Certification Practical Exam Centre is located. It's all towering spires and gothic arches and strangely cheeky gargoyles. Some wizards have a sense of humour, apparently, but not many of them. And you are all gathered together in a cold, cavernous hall with a large vaulted ceiling, which is decorated with stars that actually glow if you look hard enough. So as you are waiting for your proctor to escort you to the testing rooms, what are you talking about? What are you doing?
Hey, does anyone remember like what they're gonna ask us in the test? Or like, do we have to do stuff? I wasn't really paying attention in the classes we were taking.
I think it's kind of more like a practical thing. Like, we gotta do some stuff, my magic stuff. Rather, you know, we did the written stuff. Thanks for your help with that, by the way, Spoon.
Yeah,
no problem. Yeah, anything you say, Jackson.
Why did you bring the book, then?
Oh, this is just for curling, and I'm going to curl my book. I haven't stopped, you know? I swap arms every now and then.
I think Spoon's, like, getting underneath Jackson, trying to, like, absorb some of his, like, manly sweat. Like, in the hopes of, like, looking buffer, too.
I thought maybe you meant to, like, spot him.
Yeah, I can spot you, Jackson, man, if you want. I can, you know.
I mean, I don't know if that's a good idea, man.
Yeah, I'd probably get flattened like a pancake if that thing fell on me, huh?
Yeah, it's a pretty big book, man. Yeah.
All right. Well, if you have any excess testosterone in there somewhere, just I'm here.
No, it's all mine, man. It's all mine.
I'm sorry. Okay. Yes, right. Of course.
Look.
Okay.
This is like really, really beautiful to witness, but has anyone actually, you know, did anyone actually do one of the previous exams that they sent us?
Oh, like practice. Oh, yeah. No.
Because, see, I was going to do it, but then this really beautiful song, this melody just came into my head, and I was like, oh my god, I really have to follow it now, you know?
Oh, you're so talented, falsetto.
And did you?
Yeah, I did. Uh-oh. I'm really sorry. I didn't mean... I'm just imitating your voice, Sharmini, and that is not what I wanted to do at all.
I think our characters are going to be best buddies. that's
the vibe I'm getting. We're going to be unbearable. Okay, sure, we're rolling with it.
We're going with it, yeah.
All right, so as you are discussing your failure to prepare for this at all, a magical glowing orb just floats down the hallway towards you.
Oh.
It has an amazing kind of violet swirling gas inside and is sending out this incredible teal glow. And it speaks to you. It says, oh, hello there. I believe that you are the young magic users that we are testing today, the prospective wizards.
Oh, well, what is that? A crystal ball of true seeing? An orb of magical delight? What is that? I want it. What is that? Hello? Hi.
It kind of looks like somebody farted in that ball.
a purple fart, Jackson?
Oh my god.
Yeah, Jackson. Like that's wizard stuff, right? Like
only you could look at this beautiful thing and not be inspired to write like a million sonnets.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. It takes all types, you know? You just gotta go with your flow.
I mean, I'm trying to, man. I'm trying to. This is just me. This is me, man. I'll try and chill a little bit more. I'll try and go with the flow, like you said.
All right. So, let me just check my list and see if we've got everyone present. Do we have a falsetto Dalala here?
Present, in every sense of the word.
Good. And Jackson Gaines?
Yeah, hey, what's up, bud? And I fist bump the orb.
Yeah, it just sort of bumps a bit in the air and then instantly writes itself.
Presumably
and
cracks.
Yeah, there's a very slight hairline crack in it. It's like, oh, I see. Yes, lovely to meet you. And Spoon?
Yes. yes, present, adult man here. Mm-hmm.
Great. Fantastic. And Estelia.
Hi, you're gorgeous.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you to say. Well, I do have a little confession to make. I am actually not the regular proctor. I am covering while the regular one is on holiday. But I assure you, I am very experienced in all kinds of magical test-taking scenarios, so everything should go perfectly smoothly.
When you say you, do you mean that you're a person, or are you a sentient magical item?
Oh, I apologize, I should have explained. I am, in fact, sitting in an office in an undisclosed location, projecting my consciousness through this ball to be able to observe your progress and keep a certain distance and make sure that I am objective in my judgments.
Wow, so, like, you could be, like, out and about getting stuff done, but you could be cross-training while you were doing that. Whoa.
Theoretically, yes. I hadn't considered that, as cross-training is not really my forte. Cocktails are more my forte, but nice. I see what you are getting at.
Like a smoothie.
Kind of like a jazz lounge vibe.
Yes, yes, I think.
Yes, I smoke and drink as well, yes.
Good to know.
All right.
I hope you don't do that when you are conducting your wizardly duties.
Certainly not. No. Look, this pie. And I think Spoon reaches into one of the manifold pockets stitched onto their robe and pulls out like a pipe. Except it looks like Gandalf's pipe almost exactly, but it's totally fake. It only blows bubbles.
Yes.
They like suck on it and some bubbles come out. Oh, see, this is the only. I'll make sure not to use this during the practical.
Spoon, we should talk about, like, have you ever thought of going into stage effects? Because I really think we could make magic together.
Pun not intended, but
that means a lot to me, falsetto. You're so talented. I would love to collaborate with you after all of us pass with flying colors, yes?
Yes.
I've become extremely distracted by the bubbles. I'm just kind of going off and popping them.
Oh, no, we're
going
to fail.
All right, so it seems that you are quite the tight little group. It is a delight to meet you all, albeit in my orbular form. Shall I escort you to the first testing room?
Yeah, do you have any like tips or anything for like passing? I mean, obviously we've been studying super hard, being like super wizardy, but just if there was, you know, any like extra thing we should know.
Well, essentially every single room requires you to enter the room by one door and leave by the door on the opposite side. That is the only thing you need to do in each room.
Oh man, doors are hard. I don't think I've practiced the door bit. Did anyone revise doors?
No. Was that in the stuff they sent us?
I don't remember the door section.
To be fair, it is the stuff in between the doors that is usually the problem.
Right. That's deep.
Oh, cool.
It's like, what is life if not two doors that you enter and one you exit, you know?
Life is the between the doors.
Yeah. Well, I think Spoon's getting really anxious at the prospect of doors. So they're rifling through their pockets. And if it's okay, dearest GM, I'd like to try to cast a wild spell. They're going to reach in to find these like big glasses that have swirly hypnosis like things on them. And it's usually to like convince other people to tell them a leading question, but it's been known to backfire, so they're gonna try to put it on like over their fake beard and like look at the orb and go, you will tell us about the fastest way to get through the first room.
Before we've even started the test. Amazing work.
Wow.
Incredible. Okay, give me a roll, please.
Okay. That's a 2. That's good.
Nice. So that is under your yes. stat.
Yes.
So please describe to me exactly how this works miraculously.
Yes. I think I have to explain how I hide or disguise it, or I'll have to add one to wild. So I think I put the glasses on, but I like make some like, you know, somatic gestures with my wrists and I like fling them side to side to make it look like I'm casting a spell.
Also, like, there's a crack in the orb, right? So there's purple gas coming out. And if the hypnosis things are purple, that's just all going to like hide the purple in the glasses and the fact that it's the glasses doing it too.
Incredible. And yes, you can add one to wizard as well. So at this point, the orb is like, well, I suppose it wouldn't be too much of a giveaway to tell you that the first room is it contains many traps and tripwires, that sort of thing. So as long as you can find the mechanism by which the traps are set off, you should be absolutely fine.
Good job, Spoon.
Oh,
nice
thank
one,
you.
Dude. Nice one.
Thanks. Yeah. Oh, hopefully I will be able to use this every time to just ace our doodles. And I think as they take off the glasses, they accidentally snap it across the bridge. Like the magic just dissipates completely. Ah, well, that's okay. I'm sure I've got something else in my pockets.
All right. So at this juncture, I believe it is prudent for me to show you to the first room. And at this point, we're going to take a little break. And we're back. So the orb gently guides you through some dark and shadowy corridors to a seemingly ordinary looking door. It has a big number 1 written on it in gold lettering, and it kind of nudges it with its orb form and it opens. It's quite a sort of endearing and awkward sight to see. And as you enter, you can see that it's a lavish study with suits of armor, paintings, mirrors, and it takes you a few seconds to take everything in, but then you soon realize that everything in this room has a mustache. Like, the suits of armor have mustaches, the statues have mustaches, the paintings, and even when you look in a mirror, it just kind of magically gives you a mustache.
Whoa. Is your mustache my beard? Whoa. In the mirror?
Yeah. If you already have a mustache, you have an extra mustache now.
Jackson straight up looks like one of those old-timey strong men now. Oh. Like, with the handlebar mustache.
Absolutely. And the orb was true to its word. The floor is absolutely littered with tripwires, pressure plates, bear traps, mouse traps. Any kind of trap you can think of is there. And there's a door on the far side, a similarly innocuous looking door with a number 2 written on it. So presumably that's where you have to go. What would you like to do?
Okay, I think Falsetto is going to give an inspirational speech. Tim.
Yeah.
We find ourselves here.
So true.
There's a bear trap with fur. It implies danger. To which we are no stranger.
Oh, the rhyme. Wow, did you guys catch that? That was...
Thank you, Spoon. Basically, I believe that we can pass this test. I believe that we can be the best.
Yeah.
I believe.
Now, someone...
Do you need help finding a rhyme for someone?
No, I got a spoon. I've got it.
throw something at these things and see if they trigger?
Done. Where's the nearest object to me?
There is a very nasty looking bear trap with incredibly jagged steel teeth. Just, yeah, right at your feet.
Okay, but any of the, like, suits of armor or anything on the walls that
a whole bookshelf,
like, anything?
Yeah, there are books in the bookshelves, there are paintings, there are small busts.
Okay, I'm gonna start to reach out to grab, like, two of these stone bust things at the same time, and then catch myself before I do it, and then sort of look around me and go, telekinesis, and then I just grab both of them and hurl them at the traps.
Amazing.
Can I claim that my inspirational speech has helped with that, an aid in some way?
Yes, absolutely. Jackson can do a wild roll at advantage.
Lovely. So roll two and take the better, and I want to...
You want to be three or under.
Three or under. Both of those are threes.
Ooh.
Yeah. Excellent.
I think I described how I tried to disguise this spell. It's not a good disguise. So,
but I'm gonna back Jackson up and just be like, wow, that is such good wizard magic, as he just chucks them.
Like, amazing. No one could lift those busts. No human could lift those busts. Definitely a wizard, right?
So wizardly.
With this incredible backup, you also hear the sound of, like, a liquid pouring from the orb, and it seems like the proctor is probably pouring himself a drink at the same time. And you're just like, oh, yes, marvelous, excellent, excellent wizardry.
Yes!
Two of these traps are now disabled. The bear trap has clamped shut, and one of the mouse traps is just shattered, just absolutely destroyed.
I turn around and I'm just trying to get a high five.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Spoon is jumping.
High fives, I can high only fives get your elbow. Everyone.
High five.
High five indeed.
Yeah.
Amazing, amazing.
So we've got like two spots on the ground now that... Yeah. Are technically deactivated, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Sort of in the middle. Yeah. I'm imagining them being sort of in the middle of the room rather than anywhere else. Oh. Like, not.
It depends where you threw it, but
I think,
yeah,
I threw them into the room rather than sensibly, like, at my feet to deactivate one that was close. You know, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm thinking middle of the room. I'm not smart. I don't know if that's coming across, but.
What is at our feet? What is the first trap?
There's probably another bear trap close to your feet, and there's also on either side some pressure plates. Mm. Just sort of these clunky metallic squares with an intricate rune design on them.
I might, like, use some magic, because actually it is magic, and create some slime to, like, throw on the one of the pressure points to see what happens.
Okay. Give me a wizard roll if you're using the wizard spell slime. Mm.
That is 2.
Yeah! We're doing amazing.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yes. Nice.
Yeah, it's under a 3. Fabulous.
I say, we must make our way through. Here's, I summon you, the goo! Boom!
Oh, so good.
Splat it onto the floor. Oh, I can't believe I've done this to myself. 3 episodes.
What was I thinking? That was amazing.
Idiot. Excellent triplet. Excellent triplet falsetto.
So as you summon the goo, it takes a little while for it to ooze out. It's not like a geyser of goo. It's more like a trickle. Takes a while.
Sad.
And as it piles up on the pressure plate, you can see that it's slowly, slowly starting to lower. And as it finally reaches the ground, there's a click and a puff of green gas shoots up, directly up. But luckily, because you're not standing on it, you avoid whatever this gas is.
And is that now de-trigger? Like, it won't go again?
Yes, it won't be triggered again.
Oh, now there's gross slime on the thing we want to step on.
Yeah, we should step around the slime, because we don't want to get slime on us, so... I'm gonna do that thing that wizards always do when, you know, like, they animate things and it's like, oh, the objects are, like, dancing now. This is totally what this is. Is the floor and some of the pressure plates wooden?
Yes, the pressure plates themselves are metal, but the floor underneath is wooden.
I would like to, like, bring the floor to life and have sprouting, you know, branches and things just sort of cracking and tipping and, like, messing up what's on top of it, basically.
Mmm, amazing. Yes, please give me a wild roll.
Okay.
Ooh, two! Hey! We cannot fail!
Amazing. Are you just going for, like, the whole floor? Are you going for, like, a critical path or just a patch? What's your plan?
I think the sort of whole floor patchily, just sort of like, you know, the nature of power just travelling where it likes, you know. Let it do its thing.
Great. And what are you doing to try to disguise it?
Well, I mean, mainly my little speech, but I shall, as I'm sort of like encouraging life to grow, I shall wave my hands vaguely and say like, animate floor. And like look at the orb and then just like look back at the sort of greenery just sort of sprouting everywhere. Look back at the orb.
Yeah, and the orb seems... it's hard to tell with the orb. It's not particularly expressive, but there's no yells of wild magic coming from it, so you think it's all fine. So yes, absolutely, these incredible vines start to curl up around all the traps and press down on the pressure plates, set everything off. There are vines being snapped up by bear traps. They are curling around tripwires and yanking them away. And so by this point, you are relatively sure that the floor has been deactivated of all the traps.
Oh, that was amazing, Estelia!
Yeah.
Don't celebrate yet. We've still got the door. Jackson,
right.
I really think you should go first for this part.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. No,
be careful, Jackson. Don't get cocky.
Okay.
Watch out for the slime.
Yeah, step around the slime.
I'll carefully walk across the floor, kind of, you know, trying to step where there are vines and stuff, like following the path that Estelia has created, and get up to the door, I guess.
The door. Yeah. Do you open the door?
Yes.
Oh, Jackson, in case you don't, I just want to let you know I really like you and I think you're really cool.
And the door opens with no special fanfare or horrible thing happening. It just is just a door, this one.
Oh. Forget I said that, Jackson. You just scrub that from your memory.
Done. Think we're all good, guys. Just looks like a normal door.
Whew. Bring it on, room two. Let's see what you're gonna do.
Yeah. That's amazing.
That totally rhymed.
You're so talented, falsetto.
I know.
That was pretty cool. As we walk through the rest of room one, I am just gonna like take Edward out of my hair and just like hold him up to the mirror just so we can see what he would look like with a mustache on. And it's pretty cool.
He looks adorable. Edward's already adorable. This is just another level. It's incredible. So yes, you make your way towards door number two, and as you step through, you can see that there is a grid-shaped pattern all across the floor. There is another similarly innocuous-looking door with a number three on it on the other side of the room, and there are very large, very aggressive-looking snakes curled up on this grid-shaped floor.
Oh!
And there are also ladders just laying across the floor. So yeah, it looks like you have to roll a massive die. There is a die that's about, I don't know, about 3 feet by 3 feet. And play a game of snakes and ladders in order to get to the other side.
Wow.
What is the massive die made out of?
It is made of stone.
Rush over to it and immediately attempt to lift it.
Yeah, give me a wild roll then.
That is a four.
Oh,
failure.
What does that mean?
Means I failed.
What?
You have to roll again to see what happens.
Okay. Oh, that's a two. That's the worst outcome for Jackson.
No, nothing happens.
It just doesn't. the spell, which is me attempting to lift something, just doesn't work. So he just rushes over and is like,
"Come on, Jackson, you can do it! Come on!"
I haven't had a chance to like stretch yet, so I'm just gonna stretch out, and then I'll take another turn. Yeah, it's all fine, and I walk away and just start aggressively squatting in a corner.
I'm just going to lean into the rest of the party and be like, I've never seen him fail to lift anything, like, ever. You think he's okay?
Maybe he needs a protein bar.
Oh, I bet I have one. Hold on.
Come on, you're weak.
Hi, Jackson. Mm-hmm. I think what you did was really cool. It sucks that it didn't work this time, but maybe all you need is some quick carbohydrates or protein, right?
You know what? You know what, man? You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And I'll reach into my belt that I have to keep my wizardly components in and eat some nuts.
There you go, man. Yeah.
While that happens, Falsetto is going to step forward and use their cape for dramatic effect. Her arms are in the cape, spread them out wide, so they're kind of like a bat, bat wings. And is going to try and use simple illusion to make it look like we've rolled the die. To see if that has any effect.
Ooh, just to change the number.
Yeah.
On the top.
He will say, "Life's a game full of sorrow and shame." And try and make the illusion happen.
Great. Give me a wizard roll, please.
That's a 2.
Woo.
Excellent. Yeah, please describe to me how this illusion manifests.
I guess it's quite a weak one, so the die kind of like shudders a bit, and then the number that's, is it obvious which face is the chosen side, if that makes sense?
Yeah, it's like it's a classic D6 six-sided die. There's currently like a single circle on the top, so it looks like one is the current number.
Obviously I'm going for the biggest number, so I just make it shudder a bit, and now it looks like it says 6 on the top. And I've used my cape to kind of stand a little bit in front of the orb, so we can't really see what happened.
Classic.
Yeah. Classic wizard cape use.
Brilliant. And yeah, you just hear a voice from the orb going, excellent, good. And you can hear the sound of ice like being dropped into a glass.
Jesus.
And so I would like you, please, Falsetto, to roll me a luck roll, essentially. So on a 1 to 3, you land on a snake. On a 4 to 6, you land on a ladder.
Oh, it's all snakes and all ladders.
Oh, no, it's a 1.
Can I, as I see like the thing going towards the snake, I want to try and move the snake out of the way. So this whole time, Estelia's like come in the room and just been like making eyes at these snakes, like, oh, they're so beautiful. Look at these gorgeous darlings. And I want to kind of like, yeah, just bond with the snake. And just at this point, just be like, come here, little snakey. And just have it just like on the next square along.
Nice.
Amazing. Yes, please. Okay, give me a wild roll.
2.
Sweet. Amazing. So what do you do to make it seem wizardy?
Wizardy. So yes, she's like talking to these snakes. Although, it's going to seem wizardy. It's also going to seem very much like cheating, in fact. She's going to like wave her book around and be like, Gamus Adapticus. Just like look at the orb again, like... Yeah.
And yeah, the snake slithers up to you and just lays its head on your lap and just looks up at you adoringly, and its little tongue just kind of peeks out.
I'm just gonna hug the snake for most of the rest of this game.
I want to know if Edward's jealous of the snake.
How does Edward feel?
Oh no. I'm gonna remember Edward and bring Edward in on the hug, so that it's a little three-way hug. There's enough love for everyone.
Excellent.
Nice.
And because you were so persuasive to the snake does not see Edward as some kind of snack this time. The other snakes, we'll have to wait and see.
Oh, God.
But at this point, Falsetto manages to land safely on an empty square without any snakes.
Mysteriously empty square. Despite the fact that there were no empty squares in this game before.
the proctor from the orb calls out, "Ah, I see that you have nominated Falsetto as your designated player for this game. You only need to get one person to the other side."
Oh, you mean we could have nominated Spoon?
I don't think I could lead the group as a representative. You're our fearless leader, Falsetto, right?
Totally.
Yeah,
like you're the front man.
You're always giving inspiring speeches and looking so hot and amazing and having a nice bat-like cape, and you're the pinnacle of masculinity I aspire to be in a different way from Jackson.
You know what? Your flattery works. I am I will lead this band of brothers towards a future full of others. And then I'm just going to stand looking off nobly into the distance.
Can I just create a slight gust of wind? I don't know if that's that druidy. I just want to make the Falsetto's hair and cape just like blow out slightly.
You can absolutely do that for free. Yep. No rule required. Gust of wind is a free action in this game, I've decided.
I didn't get like any of what Falsetto just said, but he looks dope.
Was really inspiring, Jackson. Falsetto, I think I can help you out to get to the other side. We just need to roll that dice a lot, right? Let's see. Dust of multiplication. Aha! And I pull out a little pouch with dust in it, and I say, "This is either dust of multiplication or it's deadly poison." And I throw it at the die.
Incredible. Please give me a wild roll.
Oh boy. That is a 6. Is that poison? That's bad. Roll for consequence.
Yeah. It's been trying to disguise the fact that they're using a magical thing rather than casting an actual spell at all.
I think no, because Spoon is too excited, was so pumped up by Falsetto's speech that forgets where they are for a minute, and it's just like, "Dust! Magical dust, do my work for me, because I can't do it on my own!" They say that as I throw it forward.
Please give me a roll to see what the consequences of this are.
No. Yes. Oh, thank God, that's a 2. So nothing happens.
All right, nothing happens.
We'll start to just... Sorry, I think that was just dust. I think it was just normal dust. I'm sorry.
Okay, but could you be a bit careful? Because, like, I have to be really aware of my vocal cords and what I inhale.
Yes!
So.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Falsetto.
No, it's okay. It's okay. You didn't ruin the moment.
Spoon, maybe you should, instead of, like, throwing dust at Falsetto, use all those wizard spells that we have.
Yes!
The spells.
What if, Falsetto, we all shield you and you can just run straight to the other side? I mean, they never said we had to play the game by the rules, right?
I like that.
I think these snakes are, like, so nice anyway. This is, like, including all the other ones that are currently looking kind of hungry. I'm pretty sure they're all, like, super chill. So, yeah.
Falsetto's less convinced of that. I don't know, Estelia. Up close, they're pretty fangy.
This is Bryony, and I just hold her by you. Snake best friend.
Yeah, she looks cute, but this one in front of me, it's black and red. I don't think that's good.
I think I'm just going to straight up ask the ball, can we just, like, just go across and go to the door? Do we have to play the game?
Well, if you try and get to the other side, the snakes are trained to attack all at once.
A game or, like, fight some snakes. I mean, I can fight some snakes.
No, Jackson, be nice to the snakes. They're my friends.
One of them hisses quite aggressively just in the corner.
At Estelia or...
just in general, just seems to be quite cross for whatever reason.
No, yeah. Anne-Marie, I'm trying to tell him. Jackson, see, they love you. They don't want to fight you.
I'm just trying to understand how this whole thing works. Okay, well, so we got to roll the dice again, huh? Right? Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
we totally believe in your spell casting, Jackson.
Yeah, I'm gonna. I think
gotta use like an explosion or something to shift that dice because it's real big and made of stone. I cast fireball and I run at the dice. And Jackson is, and I'm going to use the pent up sense of failure and kind of, you know, deep sense of self-loathing that he has within himself now because he was unable to lift it on the first go. And Jackson is going to kind of throw a punch at the like bottom edge of the dice to knock it up in the air, but he is going to punch so hard that his fist will burst into flames, or at least that's what I'm going to try and do. That is what I'm attempting to do.
Okay. Can I make a canon that Falsetta has an electric guitar and is going to play some like epic guitar solo?
Yeah.
To
Sweet, yes. definitely not a bard, just a wizard who also plays music. They're totally different.
Yeah, it's a hobby. You know, it's important to be a rounded person, not just a wizard.
Okay.
Dude, please give me a wild.
I should have found a way to incorporate one of my things into that, but I didn't. Okay. That's a one.
Hey!
Nice.
Triumphant guitar solo.
Yeah, absolutely triumphant guitar solo, and also fist absolutely bursts into flame and the die just spins on its axis, absolutely tumbles and falls onto a beautiful, beautiful six. It just does a complete 360 turn, lands back on a six. And at this point, we are going to say goodbye for now and end this episode. And we'll be right back next week with some more Definitely Wizards for your amusement. But before we go, I would like to ask each of our wonderful players where we can find them on the internet and if they have anything to plug. So, Shamini, where can we find you?
Yeah, I'm mostly hanging out on Twitter at SBundell, tweeting about science and D&D.
Fabulous. And Lowry?
I am also on Twitter at LowryTweets and produce Enthusiasm.
Sweet. And Connie?
Hey everyone, Connie here, pronounced the he/she. You can find me on Twitter at ByConnieChang, that's BYConnieChang. You can also follow my D&D campaign, Transplanar RPG on Twitter, Transplanar RPG, which is an all transgender BIMPOC-led D&D show. We stream and we have a podcast, so if that's interesting to you, check it out.
Yeah. And Pip.
I can be found at Pip_Gladwin on Twitter. And, you know, I'm on some other Rusty Quill stuff. Don't know which ones, but I am in them. I can confirm that. I just don't know which ones are out right now, but you know, you can, or you will be able to. And you can also find me on Realms of Peril and Glory doing stuff with those guys. And I'm going to stop because otherwise I'll just ramble.
All right. And you can find me on Twitter at Maddie_abstract. And there are links to everything that I do over there. And we hope to see you next time on Chapter of Multiverse. But until then, from all of us here in the Space Between Worlds, goodbye.
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 Chapter and Multiverse is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Sharealike 4.0 International License. It is directed by Maddie Searle and produced by Natasha Johnston, with executive producers Alexander J. Newell and April Sumner. The Eternal Tavern Keeper was played by Kareem Cronfley. This episode was edited by Lorianne Davis, Tessa Vroom, and Kathy Rinella, with music by Nico Vatese. Thank you for listening.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Anna Faris, and I have this podcast fittingly titled Anna Faris is Unqualified, where each week a different celebrity and I attempt to give relationship and dating advice. Recent co-hosts have included Matthew McConaughey.
You got somebody you care about, you lost track of them. Go find out.
Margaret Cho.
Vacation sex is always irresistible.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
I could make it all about them and not have to focus on my own problems.
And Seth Rogen. So if you're wondering what your favorite celebrity or I would do in your situation, just listen and subscribe to Anna Faris is Unqualified. Free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.